And you are listening to Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. It is a hymn for this coming Sunday. Kind of unusual. It's for Holy Trinity Sunday, and it's Come Holy Ghost, but we'll talk about that in a moment. This is Tuesday, of course, May the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2015. Yesterday we were off due to Memorial Day, so tomorrow we're going to be doing the lesson for this coming Trinity Sunday, and we'll talk more about that. It's about Isaiah 6 and whether Isaiah is worthy enough to come into the presence of God. A couple of housekeeping duties. Number one, today at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, I will be teaching, continuing a study on the Heidelberg Disputation. But tonight at 8 o'clock at Emmanuel Olivet, and the door will be open if you'd like to come. It's a Bible study for young adults, college age, married or single. And we meet and we're going to begin a study on questions that even Lutherans often get wrong. That's what we're going to start with. And we'd love you to come. You do not have to be a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, but we would love to have you there. And a lot of Bible studies are taking place during this week. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Pastor Mark Smith. And Mark, do you have any Bible studies going on?
Not right now. I just concluded a Bible study on the 23rd Psalm this last Sunday. So I've got to come up with something for 2 weeks from yesterday, 2 weeks from Sunday.
Yes. Do you have any Bible studies during the week?
Normally, we have Lifeline.
In summer?
Not right now, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to continue during the summer with the 11 a.m. and then the 8 p.m., the young adults last week. I was with them for the last class when seminarians were teaching them. They wanted to continue also, so we're going to be doing that in Emmanuel. So if you don't want to go to Prince of Peace that doesn't have a Bible study, come over to Emmanuel.
No, wait a minute. We do have a reading group that reads the Confessions. They read books like the Book of Concord.
Oh, yeah.
They read Luther's Bondage of the Will, and right now they're reading a book that's entitled The Lutheran Difference.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
right.
So they're
Concordia
reading,
Publishing.
They are reading those.
Well, what time is that?
That's Tuesday evening, about 6:45 or so.
Okay, 6:45.
Yes.
Are you leading it? Or
no, that's my head elder.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Steve Sylvester is leading that.
Alrighty. Why are we singing Come Holy Ghost on Trinity Sunday?
Well, it is... It does end with a doxological verse with the whole Trinity, of course.
Doxological means,
you know, praise. It's praising the whole Trinity. You actually stand for it. It's got one of those little triangles before the...
That's correct.
That indicates that you stand because a Trinitarian stanza.
It's even under the section called Pentecost.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, last week, we did a hymn that you thought might be the same one.
Right.
Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. But you know why it's not? Different authors.
Yeah. Luther wrote that one.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one.
Who wrote this one?
This one is, I don't know, because it does say Wittenberg somewhere on there.
Well, it's actually attributed to Rabanus Maurus, who died in 856.
Wow, that's an old one.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
an old hymn.
Yeah, that is.
Goes back to the... Dark Ages.
Well, once you heard the tune, I think you recognized it.
Yes, right.
Yes, it's a famous tune. There's other hymns on the basis of it also. So without further ado, would you please read stanza one?
Come Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and make our hearts your place of rest. Come with your grace and heavenly aid, and fill the hearts which you have made.
Now, that's kind of interesting. Almost sounds like a contradiction.
That How so?
We're asking him to come into our hearts, but then we end by saying these are hearts he's already made.
Well, we can only ask him to come into our hearts if he's already there.
Yes.
That's the only way we can do that.
Excellent, excellent, because...
This hymn is really for Christians.
Yes, yes. And we're asking him to continue to be in our hearts because... We kind of have two hearts. We got our new man heart, and we have our
old man
heart. And our old man heart doesn't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus. But when we talk about that he will fill the hearts which you have made, what does he fill it with?
His own Holy Spirit.
Right. In fact, to the point where your body becomes...
temples.
Yes, temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit, remember, there were three metaphors. First of all, he was a ghost, which means a spirit. He was light and he was fire. Listen to verse stanza 2 to see the first metaphor. To you, the counselor, we cry. To you, the gift of God Most High, the fount of life, the fire of love, the soul's anointing from above. So if you're going through this with a child, you want to explain, he might not know what a counselor is.
Right.
And you would explain that that's just the word for paraclete.
Yes.
And
that should, oh, yeah, that should clear it up.
That should clear it up really well.
Well, I thought, you know, here you've got almost two contradicting.
Yes.
You've got the fount of life. We think of that as being water.
Right.
And the fire of love.
Yes. So how can you have...
two contrasting metaphors there.
Right, right, right. And it all depends what you're looking at. If you're talking about how we came into the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit came into us, it was through the fountain of life, which is...
baptism.
Right. And if you're talking about the kind of love that he enhances with us, it's a love of fire where we get burned up for others. In fact, the best verse to remember is the Road to Emmaus. What did it say about the disciples?
Didn't his word burn within us?
Excellent.
It didn't. They said something like
that's exactly what they said. Well, not really. That was English.
Yeah.
But in the original Aramaic translated into the Greek, that's exactly correct. It burned within us. It's kind of like you hear about an accident of a friend of yours, and so you rush to the hospital, and they tell you, good news, he's out of surgery, and he'll be back to good in 6 weeks. Maybe a broken leg or something. And you just feel really good about that you don't know what you were ready to hear.
Right.
Kind of thing. And that's what the Word of God does. It increases within us a desire to love God even more. That's what KFUO is all about, is simply talking about the Bible and how it increases our love for Jesus Christ. All right. Stanza 3.
In you with graces sevenfold, we, God's almighty hand, behold, while you with tongues of fire proclaim to all the world his holy name.
And that's referring specifically to the tongues of fire?
Yes, sevenfold graces. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, of course.
And where were the tongues of fire?
The tongues of fire on Pentecost.
That's right, Pentecost.
They settled on the... on the heads of, I've seen pictures depict this differently. Do you think those tongues of fire settled on all 120 people or just the apostles? I think all 120.
All the disciples.
I think so.
Yeah.
Even if children were there. I've seen pictures depicting even children with those tongues of fire.
Yeah, I haven't, but I don't see why not, because all of us can speak the word of God.
Right.
And parents... In fact, I made the point in the sermon yesterday I was preaching that, the Holy Spirit comes with a lot better fanfare than did Jesus. He was in a cow shed, and unless you had faith like the wise men or the shepherds, you would never have guessed it. Whereas the Holy Spirit, he's got tongues
of fire. Rushing mighty wind.
A rushing mighty wind, and the speaking in tongues, which, by the way, are known foreign languages.
Different languages,
I don't think we need to say that too
That's
often.
That's right.
That it's not some angelic gibberish that nobody can understand.
In the language of Parthians and Medes and Elamites and all those different nationalities represented in the Roman world.
You know, it wasn't Lutheran Bible translators. What's the other big Bible translator group? Wycliffe. Okay, well, one of them, this is a true story. In South America, a missionary was there and he was attacked by headhunters. And he was tied up, and they were going about to kill him, and he was praying to the Lord. And all of a sudden, he began speaking in a strange tongue. And the natives just stopped and looked.
They understood him.
Yes, he was speaking their language. And so they let him go, In fact, his wife joined him, and they converted that whole area.
No kidding.
Isn't that something? So this speaking in tongues can still take place.
Oh, yeah.
I could have spoken in tongues yesterday. I could have done the entire sermon in Greek. And except for a few people who know the Greek, nobody would have known it. And that's why Paul says you always need to have an interpreter there. When I went to Russia, I spoke English, and I'd say half the students didn't understand me because they were Russian, although half did know English. But I had to have an interpreter. And I often wondered about that. I would speak, you know, like 15 words, and she'd say 4 words. I said, I'm wondering. Then I'd say 3 words, and she goes 22 words. So I don't know how well it went across, but be that as it may. Yeah, I saw a movie recently where the interpreter was giving exactly the opposite of what the guy was saying. That was kind of funny. So that you get these sevenfold graces. Remember, we talked about this earlier, the holy number for the Holy Spirit is 7.
Right.
Trinity is 3. Commandments are 10. The tribes, the apostles are 12, etc. So that's kind of interesting, the gifts that are given. You know, yesterday I was telling you, we were with the kids, and we have an 18-month-old grandson, and he was playing a computer game where the letters were jumbled for a word, but then there was kind of in a shadowy thing, the word properly. And he had to touch the letter and move it over to where it fit on the word. And he was doing it. And he's 18 months
18
old.
18 months, huh?
Yeah, he can't even talk.
Well, he must get it all from Louise.
No, Luther was spending some time with Louise explaining to her.
I'm talking about his inclination for
great wisdom.
Yes.
No, I think that comes
had to come from Louise.
No, I think it comes from Luther when it comes to computers. But it is amazing because his sister, who's older than he is even got more aptitude with computers. It's amazing how fast these kids are going to be growing.
So you didn't get them out and play croquet in the backyard, huh?
No, they went swimming, and they went bicycling, and then they have a car they drove around, almost ran me over, so I stayed in the house. All right, let me read stanza 4. Your light to every thought impart, and shed your love in every heart. The weakness of our mortal state with deathless might invigorate. What does deathless might? How would you explain that to a child? And the word invigorate.
Invigorate, that life-giving. It's life-giving.
Okay.
Invigorate.
That's good. Yes. And with deathless might. What's deathless might?
Well, he's conquered death.
And what's the might then?
Power.
Power, or I would say word and sacrament. Isn't that the might that the Holy Spirit uses, which is deathless, which means it never dies? I think that's how I would understand that. And it brings people to life. But notice once more you've got what's the second word in the stanza, the metaphor is?
Your every thought in part and shed your love in every heart.
No, second word.
Light.
Yes. So light is the metaphor.
I'm coming back after a 3-day weekend, Tom.
Boy.
You got to realize that.
Well, didn't you preach and everything?
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay, but you're always here after 3-day weekends for you. Yeah, what day do you take off?
Usually Friday, although lately that's been kind of tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weakness of our mortal state. What are we weak in regard to?
The weakness of our mortal state. Well, you know, our old Adam.
That's right. The old Adam just simply cannot do the kinds of things.
The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I end up doing.
That's Romans 7, by the way, folks. That Paul says, you know, I know what I ought to be doing, and yet I'm having a hard time doing it. And I know what I ought to be stopping from doing. And boy, that's really all. Who's going to deliver me? And the answer is?
Christ.
Yes, Christ Jesus. All right. Stanza 5, if you would, so far.
Drive far away our wily foe, and your abiding peace bestow. With you as our protecting guide, no evil can with us abide. Well, we know who the wily foe is.
Who?
That's Satan, of course.
Oh, okay.
He's called a wily foe in a number of hymns.
Yeah, so also in that cartoon, remember? The wily foe? You got that bird that goes 90 miles an hour and...
Oh, you're talking about the Roadrunner and Coyote.
Coyote is a wily fool. Yes. Every time I see
he's
that.
He's not too wily. He usually gets beaten.
Well, guess what? So also the devil.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not very wily either.
He's not wily at all compared to Christ.
He goes to push Jesus off a cliff onto a cross, and the devil ends up falling to his death.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of things that I've been giving some thought about. How can we talk about the Christian message in a way where its uniqueness and its radicalness can come across? And that'd be interesting to have a cartoon with the devil, you know, chasing us. And every time he tries to do a trick on us, it goes against him because all things work together for our good. And he thinks he puts enough temptation in front of us, but no temptation will come beyond what our power is to endure with the help of Christ and such. Be kind of interesting to... You're not into that, though, are you? Okay. Mark's just looking at me. What are you talking about?
Wondering cartoons? Where you're going with that.
Yeah. Well, ways in which, for example, at a seminar, I had the opportunity... I've got some video of Celtic women. Those are those, I think, Irish, and boy, they sing Amazing Grace, which is really good. But they have this one song, which is really interesting. It's two women, two sisters, arguing with each other because she wants to go out with the sailors at night, and her sister says, no, you got work to do the next morning. And then the mother comes along, and she gets into the act of being against the daughter and such. And I'm looking at this, and then there's a... Oh, somebody who does tap dancing that was just fantastic. And
tap dancing.
Yes. It was really, it was a tall guy. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, boy, wouldn't that be something?
Well, that'll really go over.
Oh, no, it will.
Tap dancing.
It will. If we would do that, and instead of the dialogue between that, it'd be the dialogue between two people, one trying to stop the other from sinning or something. And then the mother... Of course, would be God coming down, just like in Luke 15, that's the woman who finds the lost coin.
Yes.
She comes down, and that's God. So it'd be kind of interesting. I'm just thinking of new ways in which we can make the Christian message more applicable, because there's a lot of nuns now. And I don't mean N-U-N-S.
A lot of nuns.
I mean N-O-N-E-S. These are...
No, people that have no religious... affiliation at all. And yet they're very spiritual, they claim.
Very good, yes. And a lot of them come back when they get to 40 or 50 years old, but they're just having a hard time coming. And I can understand that, because if you listen to most churches these days, I wouldn't go to them either. I mean, there's no long gospel message. It's just really pitiful. Just turn on evangelical radio. All right, let me do six. Teach us to know the Father, Son, and you from both as three in one, that we your name may ever bless and in our lives the truth confess. Okay, there's where the, I think they chose this for Trinity
Sunday.
Sure.
Teach us to know the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes. In fact, it's kind of interesting. If you're looking for Sunday school material for this coming summer, Concordia Publishing House.
Yes.
Their Sunday school, all 13 lessons are about the Trinity.
Wow.
Yes. Now I'm going to be...
I just taught a Bible study on the Trinity, on the triune God, lifelike material.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, it was deep. It was deep.
I know.
Man, I'm telling you, you think, well, that's going to be the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
You have a book for that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bring me a copy.
Okay,
if you can.
Okay, as long
because
as I get it back.
No, I won't give it back. I'm going to be doing the item Sunday school lesson for issues, etc., every Monday during the summer. And so I like to have as much material as I can, because the Trinity isn't easy.
No.
Yeah. But it's clear.
It was one of the most difficult Bible studies we
really?
Had. Yes, I would say it was.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we never stop learning. So to teach us to know the Father, Son, and you from both as three in one. See, that just sounds like a contradiction. If I say to you, look at that person over there, and you turn around and you see three people walking towards you. You say, what are you talking about? Person, you mean people, don't you? No, it's just one person. Or I should say it's just one human being, but three persons. Wouldn't it make any sense? As I indicated, you can't understand Christianity apart from faith.
That's right.
Yeah. Would you read stanza 7?
And this is the doxological verse. Praise we the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit with them one. And may the Son on us bestow the gifts that from the Spirit flow.
Now, I find that really interesting. If I was just to ask you at the beginning of this hymn, who bestows on us the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The answer would be...
I would say...
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but also... No, he proceeds from the Father.
No, but...
And from the Son.
Nobody knows that.
Right.
If you ask any layperson...
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Say,
most people would say from the Holy Spirit.
And yet, listen to that. And may the Son on us bestow the gifts that from the Spirit flow. So explain that, what you were doing there.
Well, as we confess in the Creed, he proceeds... The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son.
That was a huge controversy.
Yes, it was.
What split occurred? Do you recall?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the split between Western Christianity and Eastern Orthodoxy.
Yes, exactly. Where they believe that he only proceeds from the Father.
Yeah.
But we believe he proceeds from the Father and the Son. Because what does Jesus say to the disciples? It is to your advantage that I go away because I need to
send you the Comforter.
Yes.
I wonder if has Eastern Orthodoxy ever come around to that position?
No.
They still hold that he only proceeds from the Father.
Yes. Yes.
How can they deny that in the face of...
Well, what are you talking about? How can Roman Catholics talk about purgatory? How can they deny that you're going to heaven the moment you die?
To me, it's just so clear.
Well, it's so clear to all Lutherans. But if you're not Lutheran... No, you have to understand that. Boy, Lutheranism is totally different than the other denominations because we take the Bible at face value. We don't take it literalistically. We take it literally. And that means Scripture interprets Scripture. So if Jesus is talking metaphorically, like in a parable, we take that metaphorically. But when he's not talking metaphorically, like in Genesis 1, it's 6 24-hour-day creation. And there's nothing in the context to permit it to be anything else but.
Isn't it interesting that that there was a whole controversy on that very issue? You know, the church today would say, okay, you say he comes from the Father and the Son. We say he comes from the Father. What's the big deal? We're not going to split hairs. We'll just go on. But the church in that day divided over that issue. Over that detail. They took it seriously.
Because it makes a difference about the Trinity.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have to understand, even when we use the word begotten,
yes,
we're not referring the way we get begotten.
Right.
As though God the Father was first in existence, and then the Son came after him.
He's eternally begotten.
That's right. Well said. Yes, that means there was never a time that he was not begotten. It just blows your mind to think of the eternity of the Holy Spirit. Angels are not eternal. What do we call them?
Sepeternal.
Very good. Semi-eternal.
Sepeternal, I think.
Is that
with
what it
P.
is?
With a P. Sepeternal.
Right. Okay,
just like
S-E-M-I.
We are sepeternal.
Yes.
We have
right.
a beginning, but
we will have no end.
Right.
Yes. And now, would you say that about the people in hell?
If you call that living.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have an end either,
They will wish they had an end, let me tell you.
Boy, I tell you, that's the hardest thing to believe in is hell.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really hard. So that's why we're anxious
to share the gospel.
KFUO being listened to more people.
To get the word of life out.
Yeah, to get the word of life out, because nothing is more important than those items. So, worship services is coming Sunday?
Yes, we will have Trinity Sunday, and that's we have a service Saturday evening at 5 p.m., Saturday at 5 p.m. and also a service on Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class in Sunday school. We also have a rummage sale this Saturday from 8 to noon. Big rummage sale at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection. Rummage sale 8 to noon at Prince of Peace. And that rummage and the proceeds go to support Lutheran housing support.
Oh, excellent. But I don't think anybody's going to buy your old socks like last time. Okay. I'm Pastor Baker, and I'm going to be going over to Emmanuel Olivet. See you there at 11 a.m. or tonight at 8 p.m. if you're a young person, college-type age, married or single. Emmanuel Olivet, 9733 Olive Boulevard. And then tomorrow we're going to continue with our study of the Trinity text for Sunday. Till then, God bless.
On Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.